Beautiful. Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra, doesn't it? Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we would like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ. 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. The churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We are neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at this same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own homes if you live in a country that's not free or there is no local Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anybody to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own local community anywhere in the world. Why don't you call us at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123. And visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Spell it out, dash is a key, like a hyphenated word. Again, that is www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. For free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links. Please tell a friend about our website in broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony, without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like. Why don't you visit the Church of Christ nearest your home and get some singing in your life? Or call us at 214-821-2123. And you can also email us by visiting our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
Like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ.
Blessed be He's with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arm. Come on and lean, yes, lean, else I am safe. and secure from all along. Why don't you lean? Yes, lean him, oh, lean him on the everlasting arms.
We'd like to welcome our worldwide radio audience to Worship in Your Home, brought to you by www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Let's go to the Father in prayer, please. Dear Lord, one of your evangelists here on earth is reporting. Thank you, Father, and we praise you for all that you do at this congregation, your church. We pray that you'll bless the report that we make to the church today. You're already witnesses of these things, and so we pray that you continue to bless us in the works that you would have us do. Defeat us in anything that we're doing of our own mind, and save us, Father, and help us that we can continue to preach the cross of Christ in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I'm Kelly Lawson, a 73-year-old non-paid volunteer evangelist and servant of the Main Street Church of Christ. I don't sign checks at this church. I am a servant of this church. Eric Jenkins has been associate minister of the church for 18 years. I just want y'all to know that he's my right-hand man around here, and I'm really glad to have him. Brother Eddie Frazier is our jail and prison chaplain, and Eddie left here in 1998, and he has baptized almost 19,000 people in the Dallas County Jail and in other jail units. And so Eddie got his training here, Eric got his training here, and there's some other people got their training here. And they're going on to do great works, and so we want to talk this morning about the work here. Thank y'all for coming up and being with us a minute, brother. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to serve a wonderful brethren like this. Today our worship will consist of a report to the church, you, the congregation here, our supporting congregations, our 6,693 house churches throughout the world, and our very special radio audience and internet audience that worship with us in your homes by radio and internet every Lord's Day. MainStreet-ChurchOfChrist.com is becoming ChurchOfChristPreaching.com. You'll be able to find us on the internet either way. We have an audio library that's got every sermon that I've preached for the last 10, 15 years on there. It's got video sermons for about a year. It's hooked up to YouTube. You have to wait a minute till that page loads. And we've got written lessons, thousands of written lessons on there. Our goal in 2017 is to expand our worldwide radio broadcast to 24 hours a day. I'd like to tell you a little bit about radio broadcasting. We have found a better way. The people like Radio Madagascar, you know, we were going to get on Radio Madagascar, but governments get involved in that stuff and they ruin it. And so what happened is that the government in Madagascar got greedy. So this Church of Christ outfit spent $8 million building this radio station over on Madagascar. And instead, we don't have to do that. We can just buy that time. And we can buy that time pretty cheap. For $200 a week, we can do two broadcasts that cover the entire earth. So for $200 a week, we can cover the entire earth once. That's a whole lot cheaper than an $8 million capital investment in building a bunch of radio stations that you don't know whether the government's going to take them over or not. We just hire that time on the radio. We're going to use the bully pulpit in the internet this year to challenge and to try to make 100,000 evangelists in house churches throughout the world. We're going to turn loose a bunch of Kellys on the entire world if they're going to go out there and do exactly what we've done here. I want to challenge you this morning to dream the impossible dream, to reach for the stars, that there's nothing too hard and nothing above what we can do. If we establish 100,000 house churches, it's very easy to do. If those houses will do the same thing that Jesus told them to do, go out and bring in the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. We got Lomax here this morning, blind man. We've got all kinds of lame people here. We've got all kinds of halt people here. We started inviting the poor, and God supplies the money. Every sermon I've preached since 2006 has been on this website of ours. I'm an evangelist. There are not many evangelists. There's a whole lot of preachers, but there's not many evangelists. Paul told Titus in Titus 1:5, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou should set in order the things that are wanting." So the first job of an evangelist is to set in order the things that are wanting in a church and ordain elders in every city I've appointed thee. Well, I haven't been able to get past that set in order the things that are wanting because there's so much right here that's wanting that need to be set in order. I haven't been able to get it past that, and we don't have people here that's qualified to be elders, but I'm far too smart to be the Pope of this place. So I'm going to talk today and next Sunday about how I have managed to subject myself to the congregation and to run a successful church. The problem that we face here is how to take a 19th century church, this church here was formed in 1896, how to take a 19th century church into the 21st century. How are we going to do that using first century technology called the Bible? And so it's a real hard act to follow. I want to give you warning, William, that it's not an easy job. In 2 Timothy 4:5, Paul told Timothy, "But watch thou in things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." So Eric Jenkins, would you come up, William, and you too, Vito, would y'all come up a minute? Eric Jenkins is our associate minister here, and I have tried to get these two young men that I'm going to introduce you to, I'm trying to get these two men to throw in with us. And I'm going to tell you a little about them. William, I'm very proud of him. He's a Bible major at Harding University. He graduated from our four-year program a year and a half ago or so.
Yes, sir.
And then he's gone now, and he's an honorable young man, and he's gone and worked for a year and paid down his college debt because he didn't want to leave it for his mother and dad. And I've told him that we don't have any money here, and he doesn't care a lot about money, but he needs a little money. And so we're going to have to try to raise him a little money. And I've offered to move him in my house, or he can move in Paul's house, or we'll have to get him an apartment if he prefers that. But I've told him that we'll give him room and board and pay a little on his college debt every week and give him a little pocket money. And so we've offered to help him all we can and try to raise a little support for him because he has a right to have a house and home and a family and sometimes in the future with the understanding that as his church builds that he'd have a right to greater and greater pay. Just because I don't take any pay at all doesn't mean that preachers don't deserve pay because the Bible teaches that they do deserve pay and don't muzzle the ox while he works in the threshing floor, right? Vito is our truck driver evangelist, and he's a student preacher. He's going to Bible college, and he heard us driving through Nashville, Tennessee. He heard us on the radio, and he sent and he got CDs from us, and he owns his own truck, and he got CDs, and he came down here, and he studied with me over a week or two and was baptized into Christ after finding the more excellent way. And then we started signing him up in Bible studies, and he's completed some of those. And now we've got him signed up in college, and he's completed his first college course and got an A-plus on it. He left here last Sunday, and last Monday night, a train hit his truck and wiped him out. Cost him $250,000 truck, and he's hurt. He's been busted around, and the train was defective, and so we've lawyered him up with Calhoun, the lawyer. He's going to be all right. They're going to protect him for his rights. The arm didn't come down at the crossing, and it's just wiped him out. It's wiped his money out and everything. And he's been giving us $200 a week and paying for two of those international radio broadcasts, and he can't do that anymore. He's lost his living. So we need to pray about that and pray for these two men that we'll be able to bring them on board, and I wanted to introduce them to you. So thank y'all, guys. Thank y'all. I've told William that the little amount that we've paid him, he's almost like an indentured servant. And if he wanted to go all the way, that we'd take him and notch his ear into the doorpost with an awl, and he could be a lifetime slave, and we'd go on and just pay that college off. And he wouldn't have to worry about a thing, but he thinks he wants probably to lean more towards the temporary payments rather than the one full payment, right? College. Isn't it great that we don't live under the law of Moses? See, that's what they told you to do in Deuteronomy 15, about verse 16. In Proverbs 29, verse 18, it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. We need to have a vision. We need to look above what we can possibly do. I take the Great Commission serious. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I think it is a commission given to every evangelist, to every preacher in the entire world. Every person ought to have a world view. And I want to talk to you a minute about how you view things. Years ago, I was a businessman, and I had a speed reading program. And I took my employees out to lunch at Youngblood's Cafeteria at Forest Lane and Marsh, I believe it was. And right across the street was an insurance agency. And so as we pulled up to Youngblood's just prior to noon, that insurance agency started letting out. And I said, let's hurry and get in here and get our lunch, man, before this insurance agency lets out. And so we beat all them people in there, and we went in and we ate, and we came back to the office. And I called a guy in who was just selling one-on-one, and he's making about the equivalent of $100 or $200 a week. And I said, did you see all those people coming out of that insurance company today at noon? He said, I sure did. I said, did that give you any idea? And he said, yeah. He said, I could find out who those people are, and I could go by their house, and I could sell them this speed reading course. And I said, I believe you can do it. And I called another guy in, and he's making more money. He's making about $500 a week. And I asked him, I said, you see all those people coming out of that insurance company today this noon? He said, I sure did. I said, that give you any idea? He said, I noticed that they ate in groups. He said, if I can get in there and get in there one of their lunch groups, I can sell these speed reading courses four and five at a time. And I said, I believe you can do it. And I called the other guy in, and as he came in the office, he said, I just got through talking to that insurance company. He said, I'm going out to see them, and as soon as they hear what this speed reading course will do, they'll buy it for all their employees. Now, everybody saw the same thing, but one person, all they could see was just a little bit. And another person had a bigger vision, and they could see more. And the other guy had unlimited vision, and he could imagine it all. I want you to step up. We need to step up this coming year, and we need to put in practice this verse, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Our 2017 radio goal, that we want to get on the radio 24 hours a day on Sunday, and our website and social media. We need to use the bully pulpit of the radio. It's going out to the entire world and the internet and social media. We need to get up to speed on that. And Joe is one of our employees that's going to help us on that, on the social media stuff, and I hope that William will too. We want to establish 100,000 evangelists and house churches all over the world. And for those that are in the United States, we have a curriculum right here for you. We have a curriculum, and this curriculum right here is the beginning of a college course. That this college course would make any evangelist in his home, he'd be prepared to go and to be an evangelist and to be a teacher and to have a house church and had teach sound doctrine right here with this one package. So for those people who can afford it, for about $50, we'll send you for cost, postage and everything, we'll send you the college-level books and the stuff that it takes to become an evangelist and to have a house church. For those people who want to begin, we're going to send you first the book that I wrote back in 1990 called A Seed, and we'll send this book to anybody who's interested in this in the United States, and when you finish this course, we'll send them to you one at a time if you can't pay for them. We'll give you a scholarship and send them to you one at a time. And if you can pay for them, we'll send them to you all one time. And for people throughout the world, they can go on the website and start taking these courses on the website. As I said, I'm an evangelist, and all my life has really been in training to do the things that I'm doing right now. I used to think that it takes a great man. I know some of you think that it takes a great man to do a job like this. But I want to tell you that there's really no such thing as great men. There's only great challenges that ordinary men like you and I have to face and that we have to overcome. There's no such thing as great men. So get that out of your head. Every one of you has an opportunity to be great for Christ if you'll just take care of the challenge. Again, this is a report of my ministry. 23 years ago, my wife had been in the hospital 9 times, and she was down to 80 pounds when I came to this church. I'd had two heart attacks trying to take care of her and run an environmental engineering company. I was doing about $1 million a year in sales, and I went broke trying to take care of her and her hospital bills and my hospital bills. And I came and sat on this back row right back here at the back, and all I wanted to do was go to heaven. I just came to Pekin East Side to go to heaven. Being the prodigal son of this congregation and the greatest of sinners, I've really never thought that I was worthy to be the minister of the Main Street Church of Christ. Prior to 23 years ago, everything I've done in my life's been a failure in one way or another, and there's just nothing that doesn't bring me shame about my past, and there's nothing that I can do to correct it other than repent, which I do daily. The truth is, again, is that I've failed at everything that I've done in life. I spent 9.5 years in prison, mainly in the federal penitentiary in Leavenworth, Kansas, for multiple bank robberies, organized crime, weapons violations. And so that's one part of me. But I'm kind of a complex person. On the other side, I was a very successful businessman. I owned many bars and clubs and restaurants and grocery stores and liquor stores. And the President's Task Force on Organized Crime in 1968 decided that I wasn't just an innocent bar owner and produce farmer, that all them trucks that I had running from Piedras Negras was doing other things. And so they raided all my businesses and took everything that I owned, and I robbed the bank because I didn't want to leave town without any money. And that's when I found out the federal government doesn't know how to take a joke. They do not know how to take a joke. And no matter how bad you are, they have a place for you. And what they do is that they give you a category, 1 through 6. And based upon how bad you are, that's where you go to. If you're a punk, you go to level 1. And if you're a bad, tough guy, you go to level 6. And so they sent me to level 6, 7. And I found out that the government puts you in with people just like yourself, where everybody's a killer. And so it's a lifestyle that I would advise you to abstain from. On the other hand, I have taught and personally baptized over 5,000 people since I became a Christian. I have discipled a lot of people. Not many professors at Harding have discipled 5,000 people. I must know something about it. I must have some practice. I have done it everywhere I've ever been since I became a Christian 40 years ago. Well, some of you might say, yeah, but 40 years ago you fell on your face, Kelly. You really goofed and fouled up, and you're a defrocked preacher. Well, that's the truth. So was Moses. Moses was a defrocked preacher, and he had to go away for 40 years. So you might say that I'm a defrocked, twice-saved preacher. Is there anybody in the room that doesn't believe in repentance, that we can't repent? Good, I'm glad. So I hope that y'all will accept my repentance. I want to continue to every day to formally repent of my sins. Before I croak, I want to justify by this report to this congregation, my office of evangelist here for the last 23 years. I'll talk more next week about what some of our plans are. The only authority that we have in the world is Scripture. And you, the church, set me apart as an evangelist. When you set me apart as an evangelist, the vote was about 97-3. Three people didn't believe that an ex-bank robber that's willing to come here and work for nothing is for real. And they stood right here in front and stood against me. And I took the old mafia saying that you keep your friends close and your enemies closer. And I brought the lady in and made her my secretary, May Roseborough. And May Roseborough was a fine secretary. And she didn't have to write checks around this church. For about 6 months, she was totally convinced that we were on the up and up 100% square and that she had fallen in among the right people. Diane Van Hooser is now our secretary. She's been a member of this church for 40 years. I don't sign on the bank account. The money's counted back there when I'm up here preaching. I don't handle the money. Diane Van Hooser writes checks. Vicky writes checks. Fred's wife, she's one of our secretaries. We've got two secretaries. Fred here's our van driver and maintenance man. How long you been sober, Fred? 13 years he's been sober. And we brought him in right here in our program. Larry Thomas is our kitchen manager. He's back in the back. Big Larry has been sober 13 years too, right, Larry? and he's in charge of our kitchen. He lives in church housing. He supports his own self. He gets no pay. He's our kitchen manager. John is still homeless. John works for us in the kitchen. He comes down here and volunteers every day because he knows that we're for real and that we take care of the poor and that we care about the poor here. Truck is one of our bouncers.
Well,
let's call him an usher, okay? Yeah, let's call him an usher. Truck is one of the most important people here. Truck was on the street all of his life, and Truck found a place that's heaven on earth that they really love the poor, and Truck is no longer on the street. He rides a bus over here every week. We give him a bus pass from his sister's house, and he manages the comings and goings here of the church. And I told the police officer, we have a police officer here, I told the police officer, I said, if you ever see some guy kissing the concrete, the floor, and Truck standing over him, put the cuffs on the guy on the floor. You don't have to worry about Truck. And Steve is another one of our ushers around here. Steve used to be a boxer, I call him Knuckles. He's ready to go anytime he ever has to go. And, of course, we're really nonviolent around here. There's no problems. We have no problems. And the reason we have no problems is that we've converted people right here in our own neighborhood. These are the people in the hood. We live in the hood down here. These are people in the hood that really know we're for real, and they want to be a part of this thing. Rick is our janitor. He's no longer homeless. And so we've got a nice crew around here that is a smooth-running machine. If you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I call heaven and earth to witness this day that I've done my best the following scriptures in dealing with y'all over the last 23 years in this ministry. In 1 Corinthians 2:1, "And I, brethren, when I came to you not with excellency of speech and wisdom..." Paul was probably one of the most highly educated people on the face of the earth. But instead of writing in classical Greek, the New Testament, he wrote in Koine Greek, the Greek of the marketplace. And I speak in the English of the marketplace, the language of the city, the market, the city, the people. People can understand me all over the world because I don't pay attention to fancy rules of grammar and use double negatives and a lot of things that I know better than. But it has nothing to do with plain speech. People deserve plain speech. And Paul said that he gave them plain speech. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech and wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I was determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And you've got a salvation message from me every Sunday. No matter what I taught on, it ended up in being a salvation message where people can hear and become Christians. In Acts chapter 20, verse 26, where he called the elders of the church at Ephesus together, he says, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I'm pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." And I feel the same way, for I've preached the Bible to you. In Acts 20, verse 33, "I've coveted no man's gold or silver or apparel." And again, I want to tell you, I don't even sign on the checkbook here. I'm too fat. I've got more than what I deserve. I don't need any more. You pay my expenses, and that's all I need. And I drive a 1995 Buick. But I did buy some socks. I no longer have holes in my socks. I bought three pair of socks, so I'm fixed up there. In Acts 20, verse 34, Paul says, "Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and them that were with me. And I have showed you in all things that in so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive." All true evangelists take serious our marching orders. Our marching orders are very plain. They're found in the Great Commission. And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." If every evangelist had a worldview, they'd teach the people that are right there with them. Plus, they have the opportunity to teach the whole wide world if they can figure out a way to do that. And of course, we've done that, hadn't we? When you start looking for the stars, you start reaching at least the moon. two blondes was sitting down on the beach up in New Jersey, and a reporter come up and asked them, said, is it true that blondes are really sharp? And they said, you bet we sure are. And they said, well, we've got one question for you. What's the closest distance? Is it to the moon or to Florida? And one of them said, duh, how stupid can you be? You can see the moon. Well, we can see the moon, guys. We really can, and we can dream the impossible dream. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Everything written in 1st, 2nd Timothy, and Titus is instructions for people like Eric and Vito and William and I. It's instructions for an evangelist. It's what we're to do. All the things that are found in those books. In 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things that thou hast heard of me, Paul, first generation, among many witnesses, Timothy, second generation, the same, not something different. I want you to notice that. The same. The very same thing, not something new, not keeping up with the times, the same thing. Commit thou to faithful men, third generation, which will be able to teach others also, fourth generation. Paul envisioned a Christianity that would not change but would go on. That's what Paul envisioned, and that's what I envisioned for you, a Christianity that's just exactly like the first century. In 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul, speaking to Timothy, says that from a child I was raised in the church. And this same thing is true of me. That from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures that are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Theopneustos, God breathed these scriptures out of the prophet. God breathed it out of the apostle. It is the very breath of God, the word of God. All scripture is given by the inspiration, the breath of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished all good works. You can do that with the Bible. Chapter 4, verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, the foremost work of an evangelist. Be instant in season and out of season, when you feel like it and when you don't. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come and they will not endure sound doctrine. That's happening right now today in the churches of Christ. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears that'll tell them what they want to hear instead of the truth. And they shall be turned away their ears from the truth and be turned into fables, tales of supernatural happenings. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Many thought that we wouldn't make it 6 weeks, much less 6 months or 6 years or whatever. In Romans chapter 12, verse 18, I've tried to make this a part of our ministry here. If at all possible, as much as it lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. Don't whoop them unless you have to, unless they make you whoop them. Live peaceably with all men. Try not to be fatting and fussing. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay, saith the Lord. Now the important part. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou wilt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. I always thought that verse that said, if thy enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink, and you heap coals of fire upon his head. I always thought that what that meant was that if you do that, and you're good to people that are bad people, that God will get them if they act up. But that's not what it's teaching. That word is a word that's used, heaping coals of fire upon their head, is a word that's used to describe the smelting of ore. So there's a poem, if I can remember it, I'm not prepared with it this morning, but maybe I can remember it, from the 17th century, an unknown author, says, and as the artist smelts the sullen ore of lead, by heaping coals of fire upon its head. In a gentle warmth, the metal learns to glow, and pure and free from dross, the silver runs below. That's exactly what we're doing. We're refining. This is like an old gold mine or an old silver mine. It's all worked out, and there's nothing here but low-grade ore. And so we're out here working this low-grade ore, and we're working it constantly. And so if you take this ore and you beat it up with a hammer and you with the Word of God, and you put it in a crucible in a fire, God's building a fire under them. The grace of God's working on them. He's worked on you for 35 years, hasn't he, Vernon? For 35 years, I baptized this guy in 1980 in the county jail. For 35 years, he's struggled. This is the whole point. Don't give up struggling. Don't stop fighting. Don't give up. The devil wins around, knocks you down. Get back up and go back to boxing, man. Don't crawl out with your tail between your legs. Be a man. Be a woman. Stand up to the devil, man. 23 years ago, Burnett Wood, wherever he's at, Fred Vaughn and I looked out among our neighborhood, and we saw all the homeless out there. And we said, well, they're not all hostile. Let's feed them. Let's feed them something. So we started feeding people. Started feeding 10, 20 people. Now it's grown up to 3,000 people a week that we feed. And so all of that is what the Lord tells us to do. In Matthew 25, 35, he says, for I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. And then we added jail chaplains like Eddie Frazier and hospital chaplains like Burnett Woods and Vicky are hospital chaplains. And of course, the Bible tells us about that too in Matthew 25, verse 36. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick or in the hospital and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. So Eddie fulfills that. Burnett fulfills that. This church is fulfilling that every week. We have a worldwide missionary, Paul. He's going to be up here reporting to you in the next couple of weeks about his last trip. He went on to Turkey anyway. He went to Turkey, Greece, and Bulgaria. And so he'll be telling us about that in the next couple of weeks. But the greatest part of the story is our goal for 2017. We intend to use our pulpit to establish 100,000 evangelists and 100,000 house churches. And we want you and your houses throughout the whole world to do like Jesus said. Just go out and bring in the poor and the maimed, the halt and the blind, and start teaching them, and God will supply everything that you need. 23 years ago, I was out of duty, and I walked the aisle here at the church. I confessed my sins and dedicated what was left of my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother W.O. Scoggins was an elder here. He'd been an elder for over 50 years, and he encouraged me to preach and teach again. He didn't care that my name was Mud. He didn't care about that at all, about me being a defrocked preacher. He just had that unique ability to look beyond what I was, and he could see all that I could become in Christ Jesus. I found a church that was out of order, in which a bully and his disciples was running everything around here. I caught a guy that had a hold of Brother Scoggins, an 81-year-old man, jerking him around by his shirt and his tie. And I warned him about it and got between them the first time. And the second time, I chastised him severely. I chastised him from the sidewalk right out here to the back, right out here to Eastside Street. The last time I chastised him in Eastside Street, I told him that the only way he was going to come back is walk the aisle and do no more of that. And I came and told the church the next Sunday morning. I said, I'm really sorry that I didn't handle that right, that Jesus would have handled that different when I chastised that fellow the other night. But I promise you that if I ever catch any of you got your hands on an 80-year-old man, I'm going to chastise you the same way as I did him. I've only had to walk the aisle one other time over having chastised people around here. I've been here 23 years and only had two fights, so I'm doing pretty good for a guy like me. When I first became the minister here, the last administration left, is about 40 of us left. We immediately found ourselves under a lawsuit for $120,000, in which ungodly men were suing us based on a flim-flam scam. I'll tell you more about it next week. We got more time. That was started by the previous administration, in which they leased a computer and a copy machine for $1,000 a month for 5 years. $60,000 a piece. You can buy a computer for $500 back in them days, and they leased one for $1,000 a month for 5 years. $60,000. Times two, times the computer, times the copy machine, $120,000. We were under suit for $120,000 and had no lawyer, had no money. They'd stole all the money. We found the checks to where they stole way over $100,000. that wrote checks to themselves for $40,500, $10,000, $7,500, $2,000, $5,000. The first thing I did, I'm going to come back to it in a minute, when Adair Chapman resigned, was go get the front and back of every check. So I went over here to a big fancy church, a big rich church, a Church of Christ over here, that our forefathers from this church had helped establish that church. And I went over there and I asked him, I said, listen, brethren, the guy that you sent over there to be an elder to help us turned out to be a thief and he stole all the money and he's got us sued for $120,000. Will you help us? Will you help us hire a lawyer? Now, I have to admit that my reputation had probably preceded me over there. They had heard, as a matter of gossip, what type of person I'd been in the past about making unlawful withdrawals from banks and things of that nature. And so they didn't want anything to do with anything that smelled like that. And so they said they'd have a meeting, and they told me the next day, no, we're not going to do anything at all. And they're building a huge, fancy building. There's 1,000 of them over there. They're building a huge, fancy building. And I went outside and sat in the car, and I cried. One of the last times that I cried over Ginger the other day, and I do weeping every day in my heart. I just don't weep out openly. But I cried, and I said, God, I am not going to go around and beg at churches for money. You're going to have to send the money, and I'm going to preach the gospel and feed the poor. That coming Sunday, a stranger showed up here wearing bib coveralls. Blue jean bib coveralls, and caught me in the lobby, and he said, can you give me a receipt for my contribution? And I said, well, I guess I can. And he said, well, I'd like a receipt for my contribution. And he gave me $10,000 in $100 bills. You was there, Burnett Wood. You were there. You know about it. He came back the next Sunday, and he gave me $5,000. Now, it wasn't quite 10,000, it was 9,000 something, and it was 5,000 next, but it rounded off, it was that. You think that was a miracle? See, some people would criticize me. They'd say, oh, now you believe in miracles, preacher. Well, I think it's as plain as the nose on your face that God did it. And one of the prerequisites to be a preacher is that in Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. You got to believe that there's really a God out there. And if there's really a God, he's really interested in the things that we do and what we do down here on earth. And he's able to overcome everything. And so I believe that. I believe if he wasn't a heavenly angel, he was certainly a messenger. And that's the meaning of the word messenger or sent. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You'll be able to reach us according to mainstreet-churchofchrist.com or churchofchristpreaching.com. We're slowly going to be using both names, and we're going to be converting into churchofchristpreaching.com. Well, when we got a little money, I immediately sought counsel from Brother Adair Chapman. His widow is sitting here today. I went to the White Rock preacher and eldership and asked their counsel and their guidance. And so they looked at our situation and us being under lawsuit and so forth. And I called my friend Jack Keller, an old gangster that I knew here in town, the Hamburger King. I called him and I said, I need a bulldog fighting lawyer, man. I need a lawyer. This is not a job for the meek and the mild. I need a bulldog fighting lawyer. And so he gave me his lawyer, and we hired the very best lawyer. And so we countersued these people that were suing us. And the White Rock preacher and eldership, they had an idea. They said, well, here's what you could do. You could give the property to us, and we'd release it back to you, and we could save the property that way. And I said, well, David, what'll happen 20 years from now when you're not the preacher here anymore and there's a different group of men that are elders? What'll happen then? And he said, we can't speak for that. And I said, well, I think that we'll just go on and protect it our own selves here for a while. No, thank you. And so we hired Hal Maxwell, attorney at law. We countersued these people. And Adair Chapman saved this church. He got in here, and there was one bad elder left and Adair Chapman, a good elder. And he met us right back here in the back. He met me and the other elder back here in the back. And he called us in the office. He said, I'm going down to front in just a minute, and I'm going to resign as elder in order to throw us in congregational government. And the other guy, the thief, he says, no, said, wait, let me get another elder in here. And Adair said, no, I'm doing it so you can't get another elder in here. And so he came down here and resigned in front of the church, and he saved this church, Nancy. He knew exactly what he was doing. And Jan, we'll always love you and respect y'all for what your daddy did in saving this place. That allowed me to go get a copy of the front and back of all of the checks for the last 6 months. That's where I found that all these people had stole all this money. So it takes a thief to catch a thief, doesn't it? 23 years ago, there was a bunch of seniors here. I tried to love them all. I visited them in the hospital, in the nursing homes, and in their homes. I tried to protect them, and which was a big job because there's always a wolf out, and serve them to the very best of my ability. I have a dog in this hunt because my family came here in 1903 from Tennessee on a covered wagon. Both the Kelly family and the Lawson family and my grandparents became members of this church in 1903. My parents were married here in 1928, and I was born here in 1944. So I have a history of this church, and I have a dog in this hunt, and I intend for it to be successful. In the last 23 years, we've maintained a church here in the middle of the hood, dedicating ourselves to preaching the gospel to the whole wide world and feeding the poor. We have developed our radio broadcasts are now going out. If you got the national radio broadcast, you can put up there. This shows you where the world's population is. Most of it in the southern Mediterranean through the China is where 4.5 billion of the world's population is. In the United States, we're broadcasting all to North Texas, West Texas, Abilene, Oklahoma, and Nashville. And that Nashville station up there covers a whole lot more than that. It gets into Mississippi, Georgia, Alabama, and Kentucky. Our first radio broadcast goes out from Worldwide Christian Radio and covers about 5 billion people. It covers the entire earth except part of Russia and China and the Pacific. Our second broadcast covers all the area that we missed and doubles back on much of it. It covers about 3 billion people, covering all of China, India, Russia, and all of the Pacific. Our third broadcast covers Europe, Africa, India. We've got about 3 billion people in that radio broadcast. Our fourth broadcast is to all of North America. Our fifth broadcast is to South America. Our sixth broadcast, again, is over the North Pole from Miami to all of the Pacific. Our seventh broadcast, again, is to all the Pacific, China, India, and all the Pacific. Broadcast 8, 9, and 10 goes out to Radio Africa that covers the entire Africa, all 21 English-speaking countries. On December 6 last year, we were going from those 10 broadcasts, which are in the morning, we were adding 10 more broadcasts in the afternoon, in which we had been told, don't worry about a thing, we'll pay for that. And so people stepped forward and agreed to pay for those radio broadcasts, and we were going from 10 to 20 broadcasts. We're really up to 21 broadcasts now. And on December 6th was the day that was to happen, and we had sent in our masters to the radio stations and everything, and lo and behold, that morning my wife got sick, and I took her by ambulance to Baylor Hospital, and she caught a super virus and later killed her, as you well know. When I got here to preach that morning, rats had eaten the microphone cards and speaker wires, and we had no speaker. But my lapel mic broadcast back there to the transmitter, so we got a tape of it. And I'm used to preaching to the back row anyway, so you didn't have any problem hearing me. Downstairs, rats had run amok and destroyed all of our back stock. Over years, we had saved and pinched pennies to get ahead on paper plates and cups and bowls and spoons. And rats run amok and destroyed about $3,000 worth of our back stock downstairs. Now, let me ask you seriously, what power is there on earth that can murder an evangelist's wife, can have rats eat speaker and microphone cords and rats destroy food for the poor. What power is there on earth that can do that on the day that you go from 10 radio broadcasts to 20? Just as obvious as God did it when he sent the money here to save this place, the devil did that in order to destroy this place, to try to destroy this place. Well, we're going to poke his nose. All those that I've sinned against in life, I ask you to forgive me. I'm going on to greater, grander heights. We're going to preach the gospel to the entire world as long as I have breath. I'm going to train preachers, and we're going to conquer the earth with nothing. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, Hebrews 11:1. Where there is faith, they will be evidence. There'll be evidence that it's working. It will succeed, and we are extremely successful, and we're not broke, we're just broke. We've done so much for so long with so little that we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. So just watch. That's the creative power of the universe doing things with nothing. That's what God does. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you believe that gospel, there's no reason whatsoever for you to be lost. You can put your faith and your trust and your confidence in God to save you. You can repent of your sins, turn from sin, and you can put on Christ and baptize. You can repent and be baptized into Christ this morning and have all your sins washed away. If you have sin in your life, you need the help of the church and the prayers of the church. You want to talk to us about anything, won't you come now while we stand and sing?
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call and let's talk about your soul? You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who he says he is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those who come to God by him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, he can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
For our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ.
Just across from the evergreen. now to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.